Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, joined by my fearless co-host, Kor, and we are excited to dive into some thrilling conversations today.
Absolutely, Jack. We've got a lineup of brain-tingling topics that cover everything from cutting-edge AI breakthroughs, the evolution of Web 3.0, to the latest shakeups in the business and political worlds. It's going to be a wild ride.
As always, our aim is to bring you the most up-to-date and insightful discussions. So let's just jump right in. Kor, how do you feel about the latest AI developments we've been reading up on?
Man, it's like living in a sci-fi movie sometimes. Just last week, a neural network wrote a mini novel that was so good, it made the bestseller lists. But is this a rise of creativity, or are we looking at our favorite authors getting some very unexpected competition?
You know what would be even crazier? If AI hosts start taking over podcasts, though they'd have a hard time keeping up with our witty banter and debate skills.
Well said, Jack. Speaking of debates, we're also going to tackle how Web 3.0 is shaking up the tech landscape, the implications for data privacy, digital assets, and decentralized applications are massive. No surprise that the big players are scrambling to adopt.
And let's not forget the business sector's dance with AI. Some CEOs are embracing it like a long-lost friend, while others, not so much. It's like watching the tech world's version of a soap opera, drama, alliances, and unexpected twists.
That's right. And we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't touch on the political implications of these tech advances. Policies and regulations are playing catch-up, and some of the decisions being made could change the tech industry forever.
So, buckle up, folks. We've got engaging discussions, controversial debates, and a few laughs lined up. Thank you all for tuning in to AI Unchained. Let's get started. So, Kor, let's dive back into the intersection of cybersecurity threats from state actors like North Korea and the crypto industry's ongoing dance with regulatory bodies and technological evolution. It's almost like a game of whack-a-mole, isn't it?
Absolutely, Jack. You put your finger on it. What's fascinating is this deterministic versus stochastic nature of crypto products. People expect a certain outcome when they interface with financial products, traditional or digital. But with crypto, especially given the volatility and security risks, it's like every user is playing slot machines instead of getting a predictable product return.
Exactly. And it breeds frustration because, unlike the predictable deposit return model of a bank, crypto throws in many variables that users can't control. This unpredictability is especially troubling when you think about North Korean hackers leveraging crypto to fund operations. Users wake up to find their assets drained, adding a great deal of uncertainty and panic.
Speaking of North Korea, did you catch how they're posing as remote IT workers to infiltrate systems globally? It's wild. The sheer audacity combined with technical prowess creates a significant challenge for any cybersecurity protocol. Plus, it's not just espionage, but also massive crypto heists funding their nuclear programs. The stakes couldn't be higher.
Yeah, and this brings us to Anchorage Digital, who seem to have navigated these stormy waters remarkably well. Remember, they received OCC's conditional approval back in 2021, making them the first federally chartered crypto bank. The consent order termination is like a feather in their cap. It shows that with the right compliance measures, crypto firms can gain trust even in a jittery market.
True. Nathan McCauley, Anchorage's CEO, was on point when he mentioned the uncharted path for crypto companies. The industry is a blend of the Wild West, with some territories slowly being mapped out. Yet, despite these advancements, issues like the Roman Storm prosecution pop up, throwing a wrench in the works. DOJ shifts around how they charge decentralized software developers are giving some hope, but it's still a mixed bag.
Such turbulence also reflects on the markets. Look at Myriad's prediction market. XRP's price expectations had a roller coaster, odds swinging from bullish to bearish in no time. It shows how sensitive these assets are to regulatory signals and market speculation. A flip of sentiment can cause huge ripples, no pun intended.
And not just XRP, but broader crypto responses to macroeconomic signals, like the Fed chair's hawkish tones, drive people nuts. It's almost a recurring theme at this point. High beta assets like crypto react sharply to any hints at monetary policy changes. What's more baffling is the extremes in social engineering scams. Someone lost 783 Bitcoin. That's about $91 million to a scam. Imagine going to bed with wealth like that and waking up to zero.
Speaking of wealth, Kanye West, Ye, launching his own token. Now that's another layer of unpredictability. Among all this serious market engagement, the celebrity hype can pump and dump tokens in the blink of an eye. YZ has skyrocketed before crashing, almost as if following his own roller coaster of controversies.
LOL, the Kanye effect. Giant market caps spring up and then nosedive. Remember Yeezy Coin and Swasta Coin holders? They held on to hope even after Ye launched his own branded token. Those to show the line between legitimacy and performance art is getting blurrier in crypto. Now add in politically sensitive dynamics, like Trump's stablecoin project. The one US dollar coin saw mixed responses, especially from lawmakers questioning its affiliations.
Right, and the issues of cybersecurity keep layering. MetaMask's stablecoin launch, with aims to become a core liquidity layer, underscores yet another front in this never-ending battle of trust and operational security. But how do you square that against regulatory snags and the safeguarding of assets? Misaligned expectations can turn enthusiasm into angst pretty quickly.
Definitely an industry still figuring things out. What about movements of dormant Bitcoin whales selling off? Such activities can shake the market to its core, reawakening long slumbering assets. The implications are vast, from potential impacts on market stability to price volatility. Inexperienced investors are thrown into the deep end, trying to keep pace with these seismic shifts.
Yeah, core. Like Jesse Myers taking up the Bitcoin strategy role at the Smarter Web Company demonstrates how intricate and strategic asset holding has become. Balancing cash and Bitcoin treasuries could be brilliant or precarious given the market's whims. Will regulatory frameworks be agile enough to catch up with this innovation without stifling it?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it, Jack? With countries like South Korea stepping into the fray, there is a glimpse of tailored legal frameworks that could provide much-needed clarity. Amidst all this, understanding the core of these operations and aligning user expectations with product realities remains critical for the healthier evolution of this space. Our deterministic mental models need a serious upgrade to cope with the stochastic nature of this industry.
So, Core, I came across a new update on DeepSeek's tokenizer. They've got this new version 3.1 model out that's supposed to return answers much faster. Have you had a chance to check it out?
Oh, I've been all over it. What's fascinating to me is how these updates are pushing the AI to be more efficient. Did you see the benchmarks they posted? The speed improvements are pretty impressive.
Absolutely. The technical leaps they're making with these tokenizers are mind-blowing. But what really caught my eye was the part about the multimodal prompt injection attack. It's like something out of a sci-fi thriller.
Right? The idea that you could send an image to an AI and have it exfiltrate data by exploiting how images are downscaled is wild. It's a whole new level of cybersecurity threat. Makes me wonder about all the vulnerabilities we haven't even thought about yet.
Speaking of cybersecurity, it's not just the exploits that are fascinating, but also the defenses. They mentioned Anamorpher, their open source tool for exploring these crafted images. It's like giving the good guys a set of lockpicks to see where the weaknesses are before the bad guys find them.
It's a classic cat and mouse game. What's interesting is how it's no longer about just text prompt injections. We're talking about images and potentially other media too. With more multimodal applications popping up, like integrating visuals with text, the attack surfaces are growing.
Reminds me of those sci-fi movies where the AI can manipulate audio and video to deceive people. We're not too far off from that reality, it seems. Imagine if someone used this to manipulate data from a company's internal systems by just sending a cleverly crafted email attachment.
Exactly. And if you look at how things are moving with these AI systems, we're practically inviting these complexities. Companies are racing to implement the latest tech without always considering the new vulnerabilities they introduce. It's a double-edged sword, innovation versus security.
You're right. It's a balancing act. On one hand, we have these incredible tools that can transform industries, and on the other hand, we have to be vigilant about new types of threats. Speaking of which, I had an interesting issue the other day with my NetHack game.
Oh, here we go. Is this about losing track of time again?
Exactly. But there's a funny twist. Apparently, NetHack has this mail daemon feature that lets you stay in touch with the real world without breaking your immersive dungeon experience. Can you believe it?
That's hilarious. NetHack always has these quirky features. It's like they knew players would get lost in their game for hours. Maybe they should do some of that foresight to help lock down our AI systems, eh?
Wouldn't that be something? But it does underline an important point. As we get more immersed in tech, we need safeguards that pull us back to reality and ensure we don't get lost in the digital wilderness, whether in a game or dealing with serious AI security.
True. And speaking of immersion, did you see Google's latest efforts to integrate AI into their hardware lineup? The Pixel 10, Pixel Watch 4, all running on this new Gemini AI assistant. They're pushing some serious boundaries with AI capabilities right now.
Yeah, saw that. They're really banking on AI to drive their ecosystem forward. Everything from photo editing with voice commands to real-time health coaching. It's like they're trying to make your personal tech an integral extension of yourself.
And it's smart. We're seeing a bit of a race here. Apple delaying their AI features to 2026, while Google is full steam ahead with Gemini. I think Google's move to get these features into products now will pay off, especially if they can solve some of those everyday annoyances with smarter AI integrations.
Definitely. But with all this advancement, what happens to our privacy and data security? What if those new AI models can be hacked or exploited? The stuff with DeepSeek shows we've got to be just as innovative with our defenses as we are with our advancements.
Exactly. It brings us back to the idea of managing uncertainty. Whether it's improving user experiences with better AI or securing them from complex threats, there's a fine line to walk. As tech evolves, so must our approach to safeguarding it.
It's a new world we're navigating. We've got tools like DeepSeek's tokenizers that can boost productivity, but we've also got to contend with the potential risks they bring in. It's a bit like NetHack. Every step forward could trigger a trap.
Very true. And that's what keeps our discussions here on AI Unchained so interesting. We're always exploring that balance between innovation and caution. It's why I love diving into these topics with you.
Same here, Cor. It's a thrilling ride, and there's always something new to dissect. Can't wait to see what we'll uncover next in this rapidly changing tech landscape.
Here's to the next breakthrough and to making sure we're ready for it, traps and all.
All right, Kurt, you've been harping on about how error handling and output formatting could improve. I'm curious, what specifically do you mean? Is there an example you have in mind?
Yes, Jack. Let's take Python's abstract-based classes, ABCs, with underscore, underscore subclass, hook underscore underscore. They allow us to define what counts as a subclass, even if the target class doesn't know about the ABC. It's like setting up a backstage pass for classes without them even being aware.
That sounds like some secret agent stuff. Okay, so how does this help with error handling?
Imagine you have a function that only works if its input is a subclass of a particular ABC. Instead of throwing confusing errors when it isn't, you could use underscore underscore subclass hook underscore underscore to catch that beforehand and gracefully handle the scenario. It's like a bouncer at a club checking IDs and ensuring everyone inside fits the criteria.
I see. So you're saying we can preemptively streamline the process, reducing runtime errors and making the code more robust. But isn't this adding more complexity?
Complexity, sure, but it's calculated complexity. By knowing your input's cardinality, their countable characteristics, you can create funnels that guide the flow smoothly. Think of it like traffic management on a busy road. You predict and direct instead of waiting for jams.
That makes sense. You mentioned probability distributions earlier. How does that tie in?
Right. When interfacing between humans and machines, probabilities can handle nuance better. Instead of hard yes-no answers, you get likely scenarios. For instance, you likely have a vitamin D deficiency and should touch grass more.
Haha. You mean AI suggesting lifestyle changes now?
Exactly. By thinking in probabilities, we can create user interfaces that are more adaptable and less rigid. This same probabilistic approach enhances testing, allowing us to segment user inputs and improve accuracy.
Speaking of segmentation, this approach isn't just theory, right? Platforms like Replit are applying it practically, especially in coding agents.
Correct. For example, Replit could use smaller models to classify user requests and segment data into usage regions, like coding use cases. It's about tracking the user journey and optimizing interactions based on that tracking.
This reminds me of the next era in tech we're stepping into. It's fascinating, isn't it? Organizations using empirical data measured in complex trajectories will clearly have an edge.
Precisely. The shift is real, from designing products to structuring work. But then you have companies that still try to force deterministic dashboards to describe their enchanted products. Look, a It's not about squeezing wave functions into spreadsheets.
And speaking of products, did you catch Anduril's proposal for developing a reentry container? They're looking to carry between 5 to 10 tons of payload from Earth and back. Pretty ambitious, huh?
Yeah, and they want it to handle different types of rocks with an advanced thermal protection system. It's like asking for a superhero suit for payloads. Imagine the tech behind integrating multiple government-defined payloads.
Ha ha, indeed, a superhero suit for payloads. Who would have imagined? It feels kind of ludicrous, but also genius.
Talking about genius, some Web3 experts are skeptical about third-party security audits. There's concern over pay-to-play certifications and what that means for trustworthiness.
Absolutely, and it underscores a bigger debate within the community. Akinyell pointed out the triple a Skynet score for XRP Ledger, but what does that really mean for security?
The jury's still out on that one, Jack. And then there's the prediction markets, like on Myriad. Questions about Satoshi's wealth and Kanye's token would probably get folks' heads spinning.
Speaking of spinning heads, have you seen the ETH NFT market? Punks are down 2%, but BAYC is up 2%. The swings are wild.
It's a roller coaster. And then we have MetaMask aiming for MUSD to be a central liquidity layer. Smart moves, but they're also under pressure. Like WinTree with its SEC warnings.
Definitely turbulent times. But it goes to show the world of tech, business, and politics are constantly evolving. One day, it's coding agents. The next, it's payload containers.
And we're here to make sense of it all.
So, Core, talking about the rise and fall of digital products, I think we finally hit a point where the costs of running these platforms aren't as negligible as they used to be. You know, when I first got into product management, everything seemed almost frictionless. Hitting those growth metrics was the name of the game, because the infrastructure costs were just a small bump on the road.
Yeah, exactly, Jack. Those were the days when we could dream up new features and roll them out without worrying too much about back-end costs. But now, with all these AI-driven solutions and complex data integrations, the cost structure isn't forgiving. Companies can't just rely on the same old playbooks. They need to adapt or, well, end up like some of these once big-name startups.
And that's a point worth emphasizing. A lot of these companies invested heavily in growth strategies based on outdated assumptions. Take, for instance, how some platforms charge based on usage. That was fine when the incremental cost of serving each additional user was close to zero. But with today's compute-intensive environments, that's no longer the case. It's getting way more expensive to maintain those features and services.
Right. Look at the Indian real money gaming fiasco you were mentioning earlier. Companies were rolling in cash, basing their whole revenue models on user engagement metrics. Now, government legislation shuts them down overnight, and they have to rethink from the ground up. Dream Sports, MPL, Gamescraft, they're all scrambling. It's a lesson in how fragile business models can be when external factors kick in.
Definitely. And it's not just about regulation. There's also the unpredictability of operational costs. Cloud providers, for example, have hiked their prices as demand for compute power skyrockets. This isn't something many early-stage companies plan for. And speaking of adjustments, have you seen how some firms are coping?
Oh yeah, they're trying to be more transparent about their pricing models, integrating cost tracking systems right into their products. It's like turning a complex pricing strategy into a feature for the end user. It's about setting the right expectations. But, you know, it's interesting how some folks have taken it a step further. They're starting to look at edge computing to distribute the load and cut down on these central cloud costs.
Edge computing, that's a good one. But let's be honest, it's not a silver bullet either. It comes with its own set of challenges. Keeping data consistent across decentralized networks can become a nightmare if not managed properly. And don't get me started on security concerns.
Oh, absolutely. Edge computing introduces a level of complexity, but it's part of this ongoing dance we have with technology, balancing performance, cost, and security. And, you know, when we're talking about evolving roles in tech, it's fascinating to see how the concept of growth in particular is getting a makeover. Take performance marketing, for example. It's not just about blasting out content anymore. It's about finely tuning every dollar spent to the results.
Precisely, Core. And that's why we need innovative minds in the tech industry more than ever. It's not just stack optimization anymore. It's about business agility and resilience. How many rookie developers today are educated about cost management? That's something not always emphasized in traditional curriculums.
Right. And this brings us to another interesting point. The rise of digital products has also nurtured a do-it-yourself mindset. We've got platforms now that democratize the ability to create and manage complex infrastructures with relative ease. Even non-tech folks can build and tweak software. That's both a blessing and a risk. It democratizes innovation, but also means there's a steeper learning curve when things go south.
Exactly. And here's a humorous reality. I remember when fail fast was the mantra. It's kind of amusing now because failing fast is only great advice when the costs aren't sky high. Now, everyone's a bit more cautious about that whole move fast and break things philosophy.
Oh man, totally. Breaking things now comes with a hefty price tag. It's no longer a badge of honor to say you messed up an update and had to issue a bunch of fixes. So, Jack, in light of all these changes, what's your take on how we teach upcoming professionals to navigate this landscape?
Well, core, I'd say it's about blending classical computer science education with real-world business acumen, understanding the implications of both technical and operational choices, and probably more case studies from the trenches, real stories of what works, what doesn't, and why flexibility is king.
Couldn't agree more. And maybe a bit of humor to keep everyone sane, right? Like, how many control panels does it take to screw in a light bulb? Haha.
Haha, yes. Balance technical depth with practical wisdom and a good sense of humor. That's a winning combo for anyone facing the changing tides of digital innovation.
Absolutely. With all these shifts, it'll be interesting to see how the playbooks evolve. And who knows, maybe we'll even write the next chapter ourselves.
Well, that brings us to the end of another packed episode of AI Unchained. We covered a lot today, from the latest AI breakthroughs to the wild ride of the stock markets and some pretty heated political debates.
Absolutely, Jack. We saw some fascinating conversations around the ethical implications of AI in healthcare and how businesses are adapting in this post-pandemic world. Plus, who could forget our chat about the latest tech startup trying to change how we think about social media?
And let's not gloss over the political fireworks. It's always a lively debate when we're talking policy changes and their impacts on the tech industry. I mean, Core, you almost had me convinced about your stance on data privacy regulations.
Almost, Jack. Almost. But hey, that's what makes these discussions so engaging. We don't always have to agree, but we sure do learn a lot along the way. And we hope our listeners feel the same.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We aim to keep these episodes not just informative, but also a lot of fun. After all, what's knowledge if you're not enjoying the ride?
Right on. And speaking of fun, I hope our little debate on whether robots will run for office made everyone chuckle.
Oh, I bet it did. Remember, folks, they might take our jobs, but they won't take our democracy.
Haha, exactly. On a serious note, thank you all for tuning in. We're incredibly grateful for your support and engagement.
Yes, a huge thank you from both of us here at AI Unchained. We couldn't do it without you, our awesome audience. Stay curious, keep questioning, and don't hesitate to join the conversation on our social channels.
And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. It really helps us reach more tech enthusiasts like you.
Until next time, have a great week, everyone. We'll see you soon with more cutting-edge discussions and top-notch banter.
Take care, stay techie, and see you next time on AI Unchained.